Let's resume. I showed you a couple of very simple token definitions. Let's go to one that's a little bit more involved. And this one is not quite what you're going to have to do, but it's certainly a piece of what you're going to need to do for integer literal tokens. So this is not worrying about signs. You will have to worry about a minus sign. And in fact, if you may have noticed, in our language, we do kind of an odd minus sign. It's not the usual minus sign that we're accustomed to, but rather it's a tilde. Sometimes people call it a twiddle. It's a different sort of, it kind of looks like a minus sign, but it's not the minus operator. And that's intentional. I'll explain why. But we'll have to handle that. But that's not too bad. If you can handle positive numbers, you just, well, if you see the tilde at the beginning, you negate it, and it's easy to handle. But there is a reason why we did it. So in this case, remember, digit was the name of that particular macro we showed earlier that represented the digits 0 through 9. The braces around there say, don't take digit as a string. Take it as the name of a macro, look it up, and replace the name and the braces by the definition. So that's effectively 0 to 9 plus. That means one or more digits of the 0 to 9 variety. And it says, I'm not going to return an ordinary token. I'm going to return a subclass. Remember in Java, a common trick to play is if you have a class that's general purpose, you can create subclasses that contain extra information beyond the basics. So a token always contains information about what token it is and the line and column number at which it was found. That's used later for error messages. But an integer literal token needs to remember the number. The integer literal 1, 2, 3 is not the same as 4, 5, 6, obviously. So it says, in this particular case, the kind of token I am is an int let, and my second parameter is going to be an integer. It's got to be an integer, but I don't have an integer. I have a string, and what I'll do is I'll call yytext. If yytext matched the characters 1, 2, 3, it'll give me the string 1, 2, 3. That's not good enough because a string is not a number. But what happens is the string class has a method called intValue. How did I know that? Well, some exciting day, I was poring through the Java manual, and it has all sorts of useful methods. And what it does is it converts the string to an integer literal, to an integer value, I should say. You'll get that a little later. You can also do that. This is something that fits on the... Yeah, you can also take an integer class. I'll give a more complex version of that because we have to worry about overflow. But yes, you can use the cap I integer, which has a constructor that takes a string. Using that. And the int value then is taking integer, cap I integer class, right? So the text in there is the constructor, the integer class, and then the int value. So again, I was fishing around the string and the integer literal, and that's what's there. So that's a standard way of doing it if we're not worried about overflow. At this stage, you would probably get an exception thrown if I tried to create an integer larger than the normal 32 or 64-bit integer that the Java system supports. So we're not worrying about that yet. I'll show you a cute way to handle overflow a little later on. So this we already said. I'm just repeating myself here. Okay, so here's some other examples. So here's an example where I'm just matching the reserve word if. And by the way, sim.if is not the right one in CSX. I think it's, what is this, rw underscore if, is that it? Folks are doing it? Yeah, that sounds about right. So this is from an earlier version. But essentially, I'm returning an if token. Notice there's nothing magic about if, so I can just write down if. It's not going to work in terms of handling upper or lower case or mixed case, but just lower case, it's fine. If I'm unsure whether or not the characters themselves are magic, I can quote them. And quoting them always means ignore them as regular expressions, take them as purely the character sequence. So if I wanted to, I could write quote if, double quote if, double quote, get the same effect. It's a little more tedious, but certainly acceptable. But for things that are special, like plus, quoting is necessary. So that's, I showed you this previously. That's why I do have to have the double quotes around the plus. Otherwise, it'll say, well, there's a plus, and plus is in the wrong spot, and give you some sort of arcane error message that there's something messed up with the regular expression. And well, and it would be, in fact, an erroneous regular expression, because I don't want the plus as an operator. In this case, I want it just as a character. Well, I've showed you simple characters, but as I promised you, there are cases where I want to have a group of characters. For example, I might want to have if handle lowercase if, uppercase if, or even mixed case if, and I need some convenient way of doing that. So something that we'll need but is a cause of substantial confusion is something called character classes. So let me give my standard warning. So it's almost like if you ever tune into sporting events, they almost always have car commercials. And in car commercials, they almost always have the car doing something really wild and crazy. And then they have at the very bottom, you know, professional driver, do not attempt at home or whatever. So I always wondered, you know, why it was that they would show you that it could be done and then tell you, even if you buy the product, you can't do it. In fact, some of you are in the money now, and one of the very disappointing things is if you have enough money to buy a really nice car. For example, I came into some money when I wrote a textbook a while back. I decided to buy a BMW, and a good one, a 540, which is a real nice BMW. And what happens in here, you read all the books in here, you know, this thing had the V8 and the torque and all that. This thing could punch up to almost 200 miles per hour, which I would never get to. But the thing they never told me in the owner's manual was something that you all probably know, being computer people. What is it about a BMW, even something as high as that, that you, if you try to punch it up to 200 miles per hour, what will happen? It won't blow up. I mean, you can really race them that fast if you are crazy enough to do it. But what didn't they tell you? That's right. Cars are not machines anymore. They're computers. And there's all kinds of software in there. And the software in there, I think the maximum lets you go is a mere 140. Believe me, that's still pretty fast. I don't know what the fastest you ever got. I actually got up in Canada, Canadians have some great freeways, expressways. This was the Queenie, the Queen Elizabeth Way. And I think I got the thing up to about 115 or 120 miles per hour on a straightaway. And the trouble is going that fast, you cannot read the signs. The signs literally zip fast so fast that by the time your eyes focus on them, they're gone. Computers are like that, and that's partially what we do in computers. And it's apropos because we're not doing governors for cars, but we are in some sense in devising a programming language, deciding what we will let people do and not do. The people at BMW decided we will not let users go that faster than 130 or 140 because they're going to kill themselves. They don't care about that, but what do they care about once we kill ourselves? Our families are going to sue them, right? No, if they say, oh, the guy killed himself and he's all gone and passed, we lost a customer, but, you know, it's sort of evolution in action sort of situation. Anybody who, you know, drives a car 200 miles per hour and doesn't know what he or she is doing deserves the fate they get. But in software, we do it all the time. I'm sure in the kind of software you folks develop, you have all sorts of interlocks that say you may do this or you may not do that. There are situations where a physician sometimes gets something wrong and prescribes too much medication or too little medication. And I understand there's software now that kind of looks at it and says for somebody of a particular age and weight and size, is this an appropriate medication? But you guys are designing to do all that. So it's a sort of situation where we have to give you warnings about what thou may or may not do. So what we're going to have is character classes. And this is like the warning, do not drive this automobile, you know, like the driver is, because it's only a demonstration. And we're going to have regular expressions. These two have somewhat different notation, as I'll show you later on. They have to coexist because character classes are very useful. But character classes and regular expressions are not the same. They are not equal. And it's very easy to get confused one versus the other. The easiest way to differentiate them, character classes are always, but always, but always delimited by square brackets. Moreover, character classes, the name suggests, are sets of characters. Character classes do not generate strings. I can use them in regular expressions to match strings, but they always match a single character. Notice that also means they do not match lambda. Lambda is the empty string, the string of length 0. Well, characters are always of length 1. So lambda does not belong, cannot be used, and should not be used in character classes. Regular expressions are sets of strings. They may use character classes as part of their components, but a character class may not use a regular expression as part of its components. That means a regular expression may have square bracket type entities inside them, but inside square brackets, I do not use regular expressions. I would not write a star, for example. Well, I could write it, but it would not mean what you might typically think it means, A repeated 0 more times. Since this is a character class, what this thing would normally represent is a set of two characters, one of which is an A and second of which is a star. And because a character class is not a regular expression, star is not magic. Plus is not magic. There are a few things that are, but we'll get to those, but only a few. So character classes are very useful. They are not regular expressions. They are used within regular expressions. Why? Well, strings and regular expressions are composed of characters, and a convenient way to write, I want these characters but not those characters, is very, very, very useful. So first thing you're doing if you're writing down a rule and something's not working, first thing to ask myself, am I mistaking character classes and regular expressions? A few pages down, I'll actually show you a column-by-column comparison. Here's what regular expressions do. Here's what character classes do with respect to operators. And it's just totally different. It's like learning a language, and it's sometimes cool to do that, where in one language a word is perfectly proper, and in the other language it's off-color, nasty, obscene maybe even. So, I mean, when you learn languages, you probably do that. I remember when I was in freshman German, you know, ninth grade or whatever, we learned in German that a trip is a fart. And oh my gosh, you know, I can say fart and nobody can say anything about it, you know. And the situation there. And I'm sure, I don't know French or Spanish, but I'm sure there are other cool things that it's a bad word in English, a good word in Spanish, a bad word in English, or vice versa. But it's the same sort of situation here where in one context something may mean something perfectly valid, in another it may be invalid, may even be undesirable. So, standard warning, I'll repeat it a couple of times. I still make the mistake occasionally, you'll make the mistake, but at least now I've done my duty and say professional programmer only. Do not attempt this at home without professional guidance. So character classes are useful because oftentimes we like to group characters that have similar properties. Things are letters. Things are digits. Things are unprintables. Things might be delimiters. And rather than say all the time, I want all the letters, all 52 of them, you want a nice, convenient way of writing those down. You might want to allow only uppercase, or you might want to allow only lowercase. You might want to have digits. You might want to even have a subset of digits. There are cases where I wouldn't want to have all digits. For example, if I was doing octal. Remember that octal numbers are base 8. Therefore, instead of having 0 through 9, they have only 0 through 7. So I could write a regular expression, a character class, that says, give me all the characters 0 through 7, but not 8 or 9. So if I had a predefined class that had all digits, I'd have to have some way of getting rid of 8 or 9. So this thing would match a single octal digit. And if I put a plus there, this is a character set of 8 characters, 0 through 7. The plus is a regular expression operator that says, repeat that. So this would be all valid numbers in octal format. I could never have an 8 or a 9. If I wanted to, I could actually go through hexadecimal. That'd be 0 through 9 and A through F, I believe it is. And I don't remember, anybody remember enough octal, hexadecimal, is lowercase A to F also allowed or only uppercase? Yes, it is allowed? Okay, so this would be one way of doing that. I could also extend it further. And again, this looks fairly complex. Let me explain what I'm doing. One of the cool things in character classes is you have a range. A range is from a starting point to an ending point, and you can have a sequence of these ranges. So this is three sub-ranges grouped together. And the first one says I'm allowing 0 through 9. I'm also allowing capital A through F. And again, it was suggested, and I think it is correct, that lowercase a through F. And that simply means if I want to write an octal digit, this thing would say, if I did plus, I could have something like 00F, which I believe is 15, or FF, FF. F is the biggest hexadecimal digit, and therefore this would be all 1 bits for what that's worth. So it would be 4 ones, 4 ones, 4 ones, and 4 ones again, and so on. So it just, I'm trying to hint at you that it's a very useful notation. That's why it's allowed and we put up with it. So character classes, the easiest way to write a character class is left square bracket, right square bracket, and some number of characters. Just write them on out. Turns out that, again, you want to abbreviate sometimes, or you have cases where they're unprintables. So there are special characters that are allowed. Backslash, as usual, is an escape. Caret is really useful because it's the not. Sometimes you want to say, I want everything except a particular set of characters. So I might want to say, I want everything except digits. So I can write down, so 0 through 9 is a range, and not prefixes it. Everything following the range is excluded instead of included. So the reason this is cool is there are 128 ASCII characters. I'm pulling out 10, so that would leave me 118. I could write them out, but it can be pretty boring to write them out. And some of them are unprintables, so they're even nastier to write down. So sometimes it's easier to say what I don't want instead of what I do want. An example of that is when we go ahead and do a regular expression for single line comments. Those are comments of the form slash slash. Remember, I wanted to say, I want to have everything that's not a new line. So in that particular case, and I'd have to double check to see, I think backslash new line is allowed in that context. If not, what I would do is put down the actual octal character class. So that sort of situation would allow me to say, I want everything except a new line, because remember, a single line comment ends at a new line character. So that thing, I believe, should work. The reason I'm wincing a little bit is that there are certain things that are available in Lex that aren't quite the same in JLex, and I have some notes about that, but I believe that is allowed. If it isn't, I know for sure you can write down the actual numeric codes, and I'll show you how to look that up if you have to actually do that. So that's another one that's useful. And the minus is the range, and I'll have some examples. So backslash is used for particular escapes. The caret is used as a not, and minus is used as a range operator, and of course, close bracket is used to end the class. So let's take some examples of those. So here's one that, since close bracket is special, I can escape it out, and in this particular case, I say, here's a class that represents either a closed square bracket or a closed paren. Nothing magic about parens. We don't have parenthesized sub-expressions in character classes, so it's not a problem. And that would be a class that represents a single square bracket right variety or a single right paren, if we wanted it. And that's just explaining why it's escaped. Ranges, here's what I was saying about, is good. So you say the start character and the end character, I believe it's required, and it certainly makes sense, that the start character is less than or equal the ending character in the actual ASCII character set. And again, you can check and look that up, show you about that. So I, instead of writing X, Y, Z, I could write X to Z. That doesn't save me very much. But if I want to have A to Z, that's better. 0 to 9 are digits. Little a to little z, cap A to cap Z is all the letters upper and lower. And as again, backslash is the escape character used to represent unprintables and special symbols. Okay, yeah, good. So it does work. So following C in Java convention, backslash N is new line, backslash C is tab, backslash backslash is the escape. And here's the thing I was talking about, that you can write down an unprintable character by using its actual character sequence. Typically, ASCII characters are written in octal. Don't know why, maybe it's just precedent. So backslash 0 means octal format. 10 is octal 10, which I believe is what, decimal 8. And I'll show you a table about those in a bit. Not character represents the complement, so it's the not operator. So here's an example which says, give me everything except X and Y. So subtract those two guys out and give me everything else. If I wanted to have everything but digits, as I showed you, I'd have not 0 through 9. And you could actually use the thing at the bottom. That's actually a fairly powerful symbol. In fact, it's so powerful we use something that's a little bit weaker in this situation. And that's the case where a square bracket, where not and the escape essentially says not everything and anything, so that matches any character at all. The reason that's dangerous is writing that thing down by itself is not dangerous, but putting a plus or star next to it is kind of like mixing nitro and glycerin. I guess that isn't really the case. I'm not really much of a chemist. But I don't know, any of you, when you were in high school, ever do thermite? That was one that was really great. Thermite is one where you mix, what, powdered aluminum, powdered iron, and some kind of perchlorate as an oxidizer. Anybody ever do that? Oh, that's a shame. That stuff is great in an experiment. That stuff, you're smiling. You know about it, right? No. Now, that stuff burns powerful enough that it can burn through steel rod, no problem at all. Is great. They don't do it in high school anymore because they're always worried about kids burning the school down or maybe burning down the principal's car or something. But in the old days, we actually did those experiments. So there are certain things that are so powerful, I guess now they don't let tender young people get close to it. But that thing would match any and all characters. And it's a lot easier to write down than the alternatives, if you want it. So let's take a look at this and kind of get familiar with these, because you certainly are going to be using them, I would think. So the character class, remember, you see square brackets? The things that pop to mind is this is a set of characters. So ABC is a set of characters. Notice, because it's a set, the ordering doesn't matter except in the range operator where you have low to high. So CBA and A to C are all the same. The first three guys represent any character A, B, or C, but only one of those three. If I repeat them, it doesn't matter. It's a set. It's called character classes, but it's really a character set. And classes is the name they use. So AA, BB, CC, still only three characters. Not ABC is everything except those three characters. If I want to use the magic characters, I escape them. So not caret, not minus, and not close bracket gives me those three special characters. Not with nothing following it is all characters. And the bottom one is kind of a tricky one, is that particular case, it isn't enclosing anything in square brackets. Rather, it's enclosed in quotes. Quotes are used in regular expressions and in quoted strings in regular expressions. And there's nothing magic about brackets in quoted strings. So the thing at the bottom is not a character class. It's a string literal that's five characters long, two for the brackets and three for the ABC. So be careful. Remember, character classes can't be used inside regular expressions, but the regular expressions take precedence. Let's look at the regular operator. So now we're going out of character classes, outside the square brackets, into general regular expressions. You've seen some of these, other ones that you haven't seen, but are useful. So catenation or concatenation is specified in regular expressions just by juxtaposition. You just put one thing next to another, just like in algebra. The way you do multiplication is, if you want to say A times B, it's A blank B. 10 times X is 10X. So that's their situation. Catenation says essentially match one pattern and then another left to right. If you want, you can use parens, which are used as groupers, just like they are in arithmetic or algebra, to show the extent of a particular component. And I'll have an example of that. If there's any doubt about special characters, you either quote them or escape them. Oops. So here's a regular expression that represents first match an A. And again, think of the blank as catenation. So match a B, match a CD. The parens are just used for groupers. If I wanted to actually match parens, I'd quote them or escape them. So this matches an A, B, C, D, and an A, not the blanks. Remember, the blanks are there just as separators. They're not as part of the character. If I wanted blanks, I'd have quote, space, quote. Or I should say double quote, blank, double quote. The next one is using parens just to show grouping. Now I can jam them together. Notice, if I didn't have parens and I jammed them together, I'd have B, C, D, and I want to have two separate terms. So I have B and then followed by C, D. Oh, there's an error there. I think I should have A in there. I think that thing got lost. I'll have to correct that. Oh, duh, yeah. Yeah, situation. I did an automatic conversion, and there's one where I missed. So, yeah. So if you have notes in front of you, the line above should be there. I'll correct that when I get a chance. So the thing was meant to be paren A, paren B, paren CD, and that's A, B, C, D. Line three, warning, character classes. So the thing in the square brackets can only be one of a number of characters. So the left thing is an A or a B. The thing on the right is a C or a D. Which one? Well, any and all combinations that are allowed. So AC, BC, AD, or AC, four of them. While is a lowercase reserved word, fine. I can quote it if I want, that's fine. I can also put them in character classes, and you're wondering why I'm going to do that. I'll show you in a couple of slides why that is a neat idea. In this case, match a W, match an H, match an I, match an L, match an E, gives us a while. Case is significant inside those expressions, which means if I want both upper and lower case, I have to find some way to program that. Fortunately, it's not too hard. And here we go. Alternation is the vertical bar. That's the OR operator. So I can use those between subterms. So if, for example, I wanted to write down while in upper or lower case, again, this thing didn't quite fit on the line. So I could say lowercase w or uppercase h, I, L, E. The line right below it is preferred because it's a tad less typing. So the thing below it says, give me a single w, either form. Give me a single h, either form. I, single form, either form. L, either form. E, either form. And that is how you program reserved words in mixed or upper or lower case. So the thing at the bottom, you might want to make a note if you have paper in front of you to be using something like that when you get around to regular expressions. We still haven't gotten how you differentiate regular expressions from identifiers, but at least now we know how to do that. You put a pattern like that as your regular expression, and then on the right in the Java code, you return the reserved word while as the effect of matching that sequence. So again, let's look at some examples. The vertical bar separates two subterms, so the first line is the string AB or the string CD. I can put parens around them, but the parens are not needed. Again, AB or CD. Square brackets means that I'm doing characters, so I can have the character A or the character B, the character C or the character D. And just as a little in-class quiz, I know people always love that, but if I wanted to what we had there is AB or CD. Can anybody tell me a slightly more convenient way to write down the same effect? That's right. I don't need the or. Remember, in some sense, inside of a character class, there's an implicit or. Is it this character or that or that? So I could also write this down a little bit more conveniently as that. But again, if you whichever form you use, as long as it's mathematically correct, the scanner generator will accept it. Oops. So besides the concatenation and alternation, we also have clean enclosure. Since that's a postfix operator, that typically is applied to something with parens. That just makes it easier to read. It doesn't absolutely have to be, but that thing says take the value in parens and match it zero or more times. So that matches lambda or 1AB or ABAB or as many as you care to have. We have positive closure. That's like cleaning closure, except lambda is not allowed. Sometimes one is appropriate, sometimes the other is. You have to look at context. So, for example, we'd use plus if we were doing an identifier, because we want at least one character in the identifier. If we're doing the contents of a comment, for example, the body of a comment can be empty. So the body is typically delimited by a star, saying here's the opener, here's the closer, and in between I can have zero or more of whatever. So star would be allowed there. And here's one you haven't seen but is really useful, is a question mark. So question mark says, do I want to do zero of those or one of those? And what's cool about this is I haven't yet told you how to match lambda. And the answer is by using star and question mark appropriately, you probably never have to write lambda down. The thing about lambda is it's always used as a choice with other things. Because if I use lambda by itself, lambda is kind of the invisible character string. It's of length zero. So I don't have to write it down. If it's invisible and it has no effect, why write it down? The only time lambda is useful is where you have something where I can say I can have assign or not assign, or I can have zero of these or one of those or two of those or three of those. So lambda is only in context of some alternative. So rather than writing down something or lambda, as I do on the third line from the bottom, instead of saying expert or lambda, which mathematically would be fine, I use expression question mark, which says, do you want the expression or not? You can choose not to have it, which is lambda, or choose to have one of them, in which case you got it. So that's a useful one, and you might find you want to use that. And between star and lambda, between star and question mark, you normally don't need lambda. And here's an example. Surprise, surprise. Here's a case where I'm using a conventional integer literal. So basically, an integer literal is digits. So my character class 0 to 9 is digits. Plus says one or more of those babies. But I can have a prefix of a minus sign, a plus sign, or no prefix at all. So the character class minus plus. And by the way, if minus is the very first character, it doesn't have to be escaped. I guess somebody's pretty clever and says, well, you can't be the range unless you have something to the left. So that minus does not need to be escaped. Well, normally it would have to be, but not in this case. So it's a minus or a plus or nothing at all, followed by digits. And that gives you a optionally signed integer literal. Okay, here's something that I warned you earlier that, let's go back and... Remember we talked about just a bit ago, this character class that represents a match of anything. Well, it turns out that's a little dangerous because if you repeat anything plus or star times, it's going to eat the whole program. And that's probably what you don't want. That's a common programming error. So what happens is JLEX gives you something that's almost but not quite as powerful, namely a dot that matches anything other than a new line. Now, why is that better? Well, normally tokens do not cross line boundaries, the only exception being comments. And comments, remember, aren't really tokens in the sense that once they're scanned, they're tossed away. So I can go ahead and say, if I have something like a star and repeat it, it can eat a lot, but it can never go past the end of the current line, so it can't go ahead and consume the rest of your program. So we're going to actually use carrot for a particularly useful idea, and I'll show it to you now just as I'm talking about it. And that's the case that I'm going to have a list of definitions of valid tokens, but for sure there's going to be some character sequences that are simply not valid. I could try to match all those, but we're going to have a particular rule that says after I have all the valid definitions, I'll go down and put a definition of dot. Oftentimes, in a program, I'll actually put parens around it because dot is so small it's easy to miss. And the parens don't mean anything. They just make it a little more readable. And this is the guy that matches any one character. And what happens is there's a rule, which I'll get to probably today or certainly soon, that the way rules go is the higher the rule is in the order, the higher precedence it has. So I don't know, you know, how parking does here. There's not selected parking or anything. So I guess if you and Judy are both grabbing for the same spot, whoever gets there first gets it. Is that how it works? Yeah, I thought maybe. So, yeah, I saw a Mercedes-Benz F550. No. Oh, yeah. When I was over at Andromeda, I saw somebody had a Mercedes-Benz S550. Yeah, very good. But she got reserved. Yeah, just got reserved. So just like certain people have priority, and I'm not surprised. If I owned the company, I'd have my own spot too. Probably have my own helipad too. But that's different people spending other people's money. So in this particular case, the rule is the higher up you are in the hierarchy, the higher precedence you have. By implication, that means the lower down you are, the less priority you have. So at the very bottom, we'll put this guy, and it'll be a way of catching errors. So when it gets down this far, everybody's had a choice. Do you want this guy? No. Do you want him? No. Do you want him? No. Finally, you get down to the bottom. Nobody wants me. I'm unloved. So what's going to happen is you hear, and then you'd have, in this case, error handling. And, of course, when I'm writing the thing. So a thing to do would be write a print statement, say error, print out the character using YY text, or at least print it out if it's printable, and error, illegal character, ignored or skipped or something. And the cool thing about this will handle as messy a program as you can imagine. If you had something that was totally messed up, it would simply spit it back at you character by character by character until it found something valid. So I believe in our language, for example, percent sign is not used. It's used in a lot of language runnings. It's the mod operator, I guess, in C and Java. But we don't have the mod operator. We're not part of the mod squad, I guess. So if I had something like this, it's a situation there that I could handle that by simply applying this bottom rule, assuming percent is illegal, four times. Illegal, 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 illegal. Now you got to be a little careful because you say, well, my God, this is getting boring, so why don't we do this? What's wrong with that? Now I'll eat up all these illegal characters at once. And I will, but what else will happen? It'll eat up valid things too. That's the situation there. So if I had something like everything up to the end of line would be consumed. So I wouldn't want that. So don't put the plus on this guy. Even though it's kind of boring to catch them one by one by one, if they're illegal, you'll catch them one by one by one. I'll show you some tricks about how to handle various special cases, but this is your general purpose. So this is something you'll have at the bottom of your program, and that's how you catch errors. And say, hey, that's not bad, because that means with 5 minutes work, I've got error handling of a sort built in. That's cool. That means no matter what I throw at you, it won't crash. It may, you know, give a whole slew of error messages, but that's still better than crashing. Sometimes you want to have a situation where you want to match in a particular context with respect to a line. And it turns out the character caret, remember, this is outside of a character class, so it can mean something very different. It'll match the beginning of a line. But there is no beginning of line character, so it's more like context. That's really saying I'm in this position where I'm at the very, very beginning of a file, or I'm immediately after an, excuse me, an end of line or a new line character. So it's able to figure that out and give you context. And similarly, I can use a dollar sign to match the end-of-line context. Notice that does not match the end-of-line character. It simply says you're up into that context. So if, for example, I wanted to say, I want to match an entire line that begins with an A and ends with an E, that would do it. Why would I do that? Well, I might have situations where I had one word per line. In fact, we'll have an example of that later, certainly today, where I'm searching for a particular pattern. Say I'm doing a crossword puzzle, and I use as my input an entire dictionary. These days, you can get fairly large files that contain all valid words and lots of specialized words, like computer jargon or political jargon or whatever. Sometimes you even include proper names so that it could recognize names that are used very frequently. So if I wanted to say, I want to find all the words that begin with A and end in E, and they're complete words. I don't want prefixes. I want a complete word, which means a complete line. This would say, start your matching at the beginning of a line, match a capital A. Now, what would I do if I didn't care about case? And I probably shouldn't. To be a little more complex, what would I do? I'd use the old square bracket, little a, capital A. So I could say, in this case, if I wanted either A, I could get it. Dot means any character, but star means any character zero or more times. So if I have an entry AE, I don't think anybody knew enough crossword puzzling. Is AE a valid word? I don't think so. I don't know. So if it were, it would be included, or anything in between. So we can start putting things in between the A and the E. And I would do is I'd shoot it through a dictionary of valid words, as many as I choose to examine, and would spit out all those words as possibilities. We'll do something similar when we do a more complete example in a bit. So that's why a caret and a dollar sign might be useful. I don't think you'll need them, because in your case, it's not terribly important that something be at end of line or beginning of line. It can be in the middle, because white space in programming languages is fairly generous. You can indent things if you want. You can space things out if you want, whatever. So I think requiring an exact match at the beginning of a line or at the end of a line is nothing we particularly need, but other contexts it might be useful. Okay, overlapping definitions. There's two ways this could occur. I could have an exact match in two different places, or I could have a match that spans a longer matching of characters than the other. So the things we're worried about is, let me show you two of them. So I could, for example, have a reserve word like if up here. And notice down here I could have an identifier. So this be an if. And here I could have A to Z plus. So that's a simplified identifier, just lowercase letters, one or more of them. And this could be an identifier. In this case, if I find an if, it'll match line number one, but it also will match the last line. So I have to worry about exact matches. I have to also worry about the fact what would happen is if I had IFF. Is this the reserved word if followed by the identifier F, or is it a single identifier IFF? So we have to have a rule about this matches two characters, this matches potentially more. Who takes precedent? And that's what this next slide is about. So that's what we're worried about. So in the case of overlap, two rules determine which regular expression is used. And they're very simple rules. So first, I've already mentioned, and I'll repeat it here, is the longest possible match rule comes into play. So that means IFF is three characters, IF is two, three is bigger than two, therefore it wins. So I guess it's just like the schoolyard. The bigger you are, the more often you are right. So in this case, the longest match is there. But that, you really have to have that. Otherwise, as I said many times, you'd match an ABC not as one identifier, but identifier A, identifier B, identifier C, and that would never be acceptable. So the longest match rule is appropriate, but it's always and automatically applied. If something matches a longer thing and you didn't want it to match, you've got to change the rules so it doesn't match because you gave definition. This pattern matches, and it's a valid token, and the longer always wins over the shorter. And here's sort of the Judy rule. It says that if you have two patterns that match, the earlier rule, the one most senior, the one most up in the hierarchy, takes precedence. So that means another thing you might want to write down is that, do I have the right ordering here? Forget about IFF. I have a reserved word up here, and I have identifiers down there. Let's assume they just match IF. Which way do I want IF to be recognized? Do I want to recognize as an identifier or as a reserved word? This is me. I'm giving the rules, and I got to decide which I want enforced. So which do I want? I want a reserved word. Remember, what reserved words are things that look like identifiers but aren't, because they have such special meaning in the structure of a program. So I want IF to be the reserved word if. Is this the right ordering in terms of my rules? The answer is yes. So what you're going to want to do is when you write down regular expression rules, put the reserved words early on and put the identifier below it. Most of the other stuff doesn't matter here because it's tiebreaker. We want the reserved words to break the tie in their favor. Well, this is not quite right if. How should I write down if I want to have it be uppercase, lowercase, or mixed? Just to see if we're getting accustomed to notation. IF would have worked. Quote IF would have worked too, but it doesn't match uppercase if. So how do I handle upper, lower, and mixtures? Well, how do I match two kinds of I's? Hint, hint. Square brackets, character class. And I could have the upper and lower case in either order within the class. So it says, give me an I, any I, and then give me an F, any F. So that means it'll also match weird ones like I cap F or cap IF or whatever. You know, you give people freedom, they're going to exercise it. But that's the way to handle that. This is just what I was talking about a bit ago. You can have a catch-all pattern at the very end. Remember, very end means that you have the lowest priority, lowest precedence. So that if I put a dot at the bottom, it'll match any single character. But again, be wary. Don't use a dot star because that'll tend to consume everything in its path. And it'll match too much. So that won't work. You can try it and it'll fail and then you'll go back to the old-fashioned variety. What happens if I don't have that catch-all there? Well, it turns out in JLEX, an unmatched character causes a runtime error. I'm not sure what I would have done if I was programming. Maybe I would have ignored it. Some earlier version just ignored it. But I guess since you have the ability to match anything and everything, if it throws characters at you that you're not expecting, maybe termination is the right thing. So it throws some kind of runtime error, maybe the runtime exception. I don't know. It turns out, I guess Java didn't create its own exception, so it probably throws a runtime exception and kicked you out of the program. So that means you better have that error catcher in some form, because there's a pretty good chance that the TA will test errors as well as valid tokens. Okay, here's something that I warned you about, and let's look at this. This is 2 pages long. And at some point, I hope this all came out right. You're probably going to want to print this out. There's actually 2 pages, or put a pointer, a bookmark, or something to these. These are the various operators, and as I warned you, in a regular expression and in a character class, a symbol may mean something very different. In many cases, they just mean themselves, but we'll quickly go through those. So left paren and right paren are valid in regular expressions as groupers, just as they are in algebra. That's because we're using star and plus, and we want that to quantify a certain range. Inside a character class, just mean themselves, nothing magic. Square brackets are important in character classes. They open and close a character class. Inside a regular expression, it just represents, well, a square bracket opens a character class, and a closed bracket represents itself. In character classes, an open bracket means itself, and a closed bracket ends the class. Notice that looks a little strange, but all that means is we're switching from the domain of regular expressions. When you see a square bracket, I'm saying I'm looking for a regular expression. Square bracket left means character class. Now process things as character classes. When you see a right closed bracket, character class is done. Resume processing as if it were a regular expression. Braces are used in regular expressions as a macro expansion inside a character class themselves. Double quotes are used to delimit strings, usual sort of the rule, and inside character classes represent themselves. Backslashes are escapes, and I think that's in both. Also in character classes can be used for octal codes. A dot in a regular expression represents any character except new line, and in a character class represents itself. Vertical bars, alternation in regular expressions, and just itself in square in a character class. They have one more page. Wouldn't fit on one. Star is clean enclosure in a regular expression, just an ordinary character in a class. Plus and star are positive and optional choice, nothing special in a character class. Caret is something that matches the beginning of line context in regular expressions and represents not in character classes. Dollar sign represents the end of line context and in a character class itself. Minus in a regular expression is just a minus, and it's the range operator in character classes. There are actually a few others that you probably won't use that I didn't include just to keep the page as concise as I could. But you can either print that out if you're a paper and pencil type person, or just create a link to these couple of pages. And if something's not working and something you're confused, one of the first things you want to check is, am I using these operators correctly? Did I accidentally put a symbol in there that has a special meaning, etc.? So this thing turns out to be really useful when you're first learning the rules, simply because a symbol in one context means one thing and possibly very different in another. So like caret means beginning of line in one context and nodding in the other. And those are two very different ideas. They just happen to use the same symbol. It's the only finite number of symbols. Okay, a couple of potential problems that people have come up with. And this is mostly important if you've seen Lex before. Probably none of you have. But I'll just write them out because they sometimes surprise people. So escape characters within a quoted string are not recognized. So quote, backslash, n, double quote is not a new line character. Why do you suppose that is? Well, suppose I'm trying to match a new line character from the user's input to generate a new line character as a token. In that particular situation, if I quoted it and it turned into a new line, I wouldn't want that. If I had it just bare, it always means a new line character. I don't want that. So I have to have some way of turning off backslash new lines magic. I mean, you're two characters from the input, not this one invisible character. So be careful about that, but it does make sense. See, well, we're back there. So I heard of a three-dog night, but I've never heard of a three-amplifier night. So I guess we must be really getting into the good stuff. So let's see. I was going to the last bullet there. For some reason, a blank is not usable inside a character class. I'm not sure why. Maybe it just missed some parses or something. But what you can use is the character code for a blank, so be warned of that. Again, I think that's maybe an error or certainly a bad design choice, but at this stage, we're not going in and fixing code that mostly works, so we'll have to live with that. So make a little note of that. It probably is not an issue, but if something funny happens, be aware. And a double quote must be escaped within a character class. And I have no idea why that is, because strings are not valid inside character classes. But again, that could certainly be a bug, but it's a minor one. So just mark this down as if something is going bad, check with this to see if it's a known problem. Aha, here's a spot where you want to mark this. This is something that you're going to certainly find useful. And this is a way of very conveniently writing down unprintables. In my definition, I said, I want to accept characters, but not unprintables. What are imprintables? It's the character 0 to character 37, octal. Octal 40 is blank, which is a printable character. And the very last character, which is octal 177. So this is a way of saying, here are all the characters that are unprintable. By extension, the printable characters, but be a little careful, because remember, among the printables, you have to steal a couple out. So let me go. And I know I don't have this up yet. So I showed you unprintables. This is what's in the middle. Octal 40 to octal 176. Those are all the printables. By just subtract out the unprintables, you got the printables left. There's one little gotcha there, namely, you could almost use this, but I'm not quite being, it's not quite as easy as that, because there are a couple of characters you can't allow in the text of a string unless they're in escaped form. Remember, that was the backslash and the double quote. So if you wanted to write something that was all the printables except those two, how could you do that? Well, one way to do it, and actually the way I do it on my solution, just it seemed to be the most straightforward, is you can go ahead and look at the actual character class, character definitions that represent ASCII. And let me actually bring that up temporarily. Okay. What this is, and you can get this by just doing a Google or anything else, what this is essentially I went down the command level and I asked them to show me the manual entry for ASCII characters. So, again, this is easy to find, but notice it's got all the characters and their codings and their ordering. So in this situation there, I did exactly what this character sequence said. I went from the first group above is the one that's an octal. So we went from 000, which is the null character, to octal 37, which is whatever, I can't even read it on this thing. What's octal? US for whatever that is. And then at the very bottom is 177, which I think is the delete character. And everything else is printable characters. So going from octal 40 to octal 176, which is the tilde character, would give me all the printables. But I want to pull out a couple of characters. And can anybody suggest a way I could pull out a couple of characters and keep all the rest? Say I just wanted to pull out one and let's let it be octal 130, namely X. As we all know, X marks the spot. And that's, I guess, a lowercase x, it looks like. If I want to have all printables except X, what would be a convenient way to write those down? That's right, just two ranges that begin and end. Oh, I thought you were opening a disco or something here. Maybe you're writing something in the evening, huh? Yeah, so what you could do is, just as that example, and if you generalize, you've got what you need. If I wanted to go from blank, which is octal 40, I could go right up to the predecessor of X, which happens to be W, da, da, da. So I could go octal 40 to W, skip past X, and guess what follows X is Y, and then go Y all the way to tilde. That would give me all the printables except the X. Well, if I can do that once, I can do that twice for the two, and bingo. You've got a nice convenient way of specifying all the printables except the two magic ones, which have to be treated specially because they need to be escaped. And the cool thing about that is you get that sequence, put it inside double quotes, put a star around it to repeat it, and except for the escape part, you've got quoted strings. So they're not nearly as bad as you might fear. It excludes the unprintables, obviously, and it also excludes those characters which cannot be used in bare form. Double quote can't be used without an escape, nor can escape be used without a second escape. Okay, and you add that in as the second part. So knowing about the character classes is a very useful thing. A little knowledge is very powerful sometimes. And again, you can just do, I guess if you just Google the ASCII character set, that'd be fine, or it's listed in many places. I just brought this one up because I knew that was easy to find, and I knew I wouldn't have to contact Google. So that answer is a question that you will have to answer. And let's go back to our presentation. Oh, I'm sorry, the thing buzzed. So let's take 10 minutes, and it's 42. So at 8:52, we'll do a final session, and we'll actually go through a couple of examples of complete specifications. And at that stage, you should be good to go to start working on the project in earnest.